But I want to talk about our great debate. Dr. Deanie Dell, who is obviously one of the premier doctors, certainly one of the premier media doctors in the country. I've admired him for many, many years. I consider him a friend. I listen to his advice. I think he is phenomenally gifted. I think he looks at life in a way that I want to emulate. And I agree with him on virtually everything, except when it comes to circumcision.
The pain! The pain!
Circumcision. This is where he and I differ. Now, the reason we're doing the great debate is I did a story last week in circumcision and HIV. It turns out that in the developing countries in Africa, it looks like, after doing a study, that circumcising males may be the most effective way of stopping HIV. It was a double-blind study that they stopped halfway through because the efficacy of the circumcision was so extraordinary. It worked so well that they said, okay, we got to ethically stop this and just circumcise everybody across the board. Dr. Deanie Dell, the gentleman who I've been talking about, the man who actually goes to the zoo and looks longingly at anteaters on a regular basis. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. You butter me up. The subject is penises, and then you have me on the show. I got it.
Of course.
This is radio.
It is.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
All right. Where do you want to start?
Let's start talking first about the study, the HIV study.
Yes.
And I know that there is a huge difference between circumcision in developing countries like Africa and in the United States, and in obviously, first world countries. First of all, were you impressed at all with the study?
Well, basically, no, and no one else in the world was either. The problem is that circumcision in Africa and here is different. Circumcision is mostly done on Muslims. They wash themselves before sex. They are not as promiscuous. They are entirely different cultures. And we saw that effect here in America. America, circumcision was something that, if you could afford it, you did it. It was modern. It was clean. So even looking in America, it was a very, very difficult thing to do. And, listen, we can't even immunize in Africa. We can't get 50 cents worth of tetracycline to cure blindness in Africa. And now we're going to send a team in, okay, to line men up and chop off half their schwanzes to cure a disease that can be stopped with, responsible behavior and condoms, if the church would let us use condoms. And other countries, in Uganda, for instance, we've greatly reduced the AIDS transmission rate with other methods. It's kind of interesting, I think, that this is a possible solution. I mean, this is expensive. We haven't followed these men to know what happens. You get a newly cut penis. I mean, is your sex the same? Are you a Muslim? Are you
Exactly. And the other point, of course, is if you're going to in Africa, that's a culture that it can most afford having parts of their penis cut off.
Now, I'm willing to admit, Bill, by the way, that, as you know, and we've talked about this before, you have this complex about your little tiny penis and what the rabbi got, a long time ago. But ultimately, it may be, I'm willing to admit, there may be diseases or conditions of the foreskin that you will avoid by removing it. If you remove breast tissue, a lot of women, by the way, are fighting today, you're not going to get breast cancer.
But hang on a minute, okay? Because therein, and I went to Dr. Jim Keeney, who I talked to on a regular basis, emergency room physician here in Southern California, and we've done a little bit of research, and now we're going to talk medical. I'm not going to talk anecdotal stories, Dean. I'm not going to talk about cultural. I'm not going to talk about the anteater head versus the Cromwell head and all of that. We're going to put all that aside. Let's talk about penile cancer, genital warts, cervical cancer, balanitis, phimosis. We're talking about diseases of the penis, of the foreskin, that simply do not exist when you circumcise a male.
Okay, first of all, penis cancer. It's a funny thing because in Europe, where they do not circumcise, in Asia where they don't circumcise, and throughout most of the world, and as you know, if all these things were true, why is there not one single medical organization in the entire world, except maybe the Israeli medical organization, that recommends routine male infant circumcision. Not one. And the reason is that these things, some of those things you mentioned are questionable, some of them are real. I personally think penile cancer may be reduced by removing the foreskin, but penile cancer is extraordinarily rare. You don't go out and take, like, say, 200 babies and do this procedure on them to prevent a single case of cancer. And the other thing that's very interesting that no, you'd never hear when you talk to, quote, doctors about this is, what about the other side? What is the function? If I said remove the breasts of young girls to prevent breast cancer, everybody, oh, no, we need breasts, right? And if I suggested, and there's two studies where female circumcision reduces urinary tract infection and diseases of the vulva. I mean, vulvar cancer is very important cancer in women. Why don't we, if I recommended removing circumcising girls for this, everybody would be in an uproar. So we have to, it's a matter, yes, I know you know this, it's a matter of the numbers, it's a matter of statistics. When do we interfere a little bit too much? But the most important question of all you never hear, what is the function of the foreskin? Why is it there? What does it do? What are we doing to men when we remove it? And then all of a sudden you get the rapt attention. You know, now you and I, it's too late, okay?
Yeah, but it's not. You know what? There are ways of putting a foreskin back on, aren't there?
Well, unfortunately, there are ways of stretching skin to create a pseudo foreskin.
But it's not a foreskin per se.
Yeah, if you take a foreskin off of an adult male, you are talking, now hang on, this is average, 15 square inches of sexual tissue that does all kinds of things. Probably we'd lose our license if you and I started talking here the reality.
Wait, 15 square inches of tissue on a foreskin?
Yeah, not you, Bill.
I don't have 15 square inches of anywhere. the whole area doesn't have 15 square inches.
So, well, if you take a cylinder, you take the diameter, and you do the math and fold it out both sides flat on a table, it's 14 or 15 square inches. And they're very important sexual nerve endings. If I asked you where the most sensitive part of your penis is, you'd probably tell me at the bottom by the tip, that little vertical ridge. Well, that's where your foreskin was attached, and that is already the most sensitive part that's left,
so,
right?
And I heard the argument, by the way, that uncircumcised men, in fact, have better sexual relationships. Their sex is simply better.
Hard to know that, you know.
And then the question is, how do you measure that at all? And obviously you can't.
You absolutely cannot measure that. But I can tell you that there are a couple of studies underway right now, and there have been, AMA published a couple of studies trying to look at this and indeed found numbers that went in that direction. If you talk to women who've had experience with both and who are not biased, they will tell you the feel in their vagina is different. Men who have had both, i.e. a man, for instance, who's been circumcised as an adult, or men who have restored their foreskins, will tell you about a tremendous change in sensitivity. Some men are afraid it'll make them too sensitive and they'll have premature
ejaculation. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that problem happens to a lot of men, too.
Yes, it doesn't seem to. What happens is because of the increased sensitivity, you can be more subtle. Most guys watch porno and they think that's the way women like to have sex, you know, like a jackhammer. Turns out most women like something a little more subtle, but if a circumcised man, especially as he approaches middle age, goes for the subtle stuff, there almost is not enough stimulation to maintain their erections, and some men have a problem with it. But this is just fraught with difficulty. I think the point is that, you know, you and I both know this. There are arguments we've made on both sides, but, you know, this is a major claim that the human body can be improved by, you know, taking an infant against its will. And this is, you know, it's a genital integrity issue. I mean, I think it's a human right. I mean, as an adult, you get a right to do what you want to. If men in Africa want to get circumcised, that's fine. But as an infant, I think we have to have major, major, major proof.
Yeah.
You know, before we start,
let me ask you though, if I can, because I know, you know, you're Jewish, I'm Jewish, and I'm completely biased on this one, and I make no bones about it.
Yes.
Having grown up in a culture that appreciates circumcision, it's even though I'm not particularly religious,
right.
I understand the significance of this.
Yeah.
But outside of the religion, obviously, the argument you make is that circumcision simply should not exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does the religion have anything to do with your feelings? I mean, did you circumcise your boys?
You know, half of them. Half orange. I kind of, you know, caught it halfway. There are a lot of Jewish people who are not doing the full bris. If you go back in the Bible and you go through history, you know, there were periods where just a cut was made, and during the Greek periods, that's kind of interesting. I really want to be honest with myself about this. I'm supposed to be objective, you know.
Yes.
And yet it's hard, isn't it? I mean, my parents initially aghast at the whole idea.
Yeah, no bris? What? You're nuts?
Exactly.
By the way, I've talked to your mother. And I got to tell you, she thinks you're nuts, Dean.
I know that. She never told me that, though. You know, I'll tell you something. How do I say this sensitively? You know, most of the avid circumcisers, even in medicine, and by the way, even in the African study, you know, are Jewish. It's kind of like talking to Catholics about birth control. Most avid circumcisers are.
Well, that makes sense.
And it does make sense. And you know, as Jews, we do have this fear. I mean, I heard this as a kid, and maybe today it's finally gone. But during World War II, you know, you got your drawers pulled down, and if you were circumcised, you were sent to a concentration camp. And we all have fear of that, which is why would Jews care whether non-Jews circumcise? Well, we kind of want to fit in, you
right.
know, we're
so
tired of all the other stuff.
I've never heard that. So you think a part of that is a psychological aspect, everybody's circumcised.
Yes.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
It's not a Christian thing, certainly. You go in the Bible, Jesus was circumcised because he was a Jew.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, it's fabulous. I just have it on my desk. I'm not here to promote a book except my own, called Marked in Your Flesh, Oxford University Press. And it really goes in, it's circumcision from ancient Judea to modern America. And the tradition of it is fascinating. And, to go back to your point, just not to undermine it, because there may be some illnesses. There may be, if you have a foreskin and you don't wash it, you can get an infection, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's true, but the same with women. I mean, I had an East African doctor tell me, why you have to circumcise women, they're cleaner. And you hear from women who have very little experience with foreskins in America. You go on the street and you ask women about it. Oh, no, that's disgusting. It's dirty. I say, well, you know, the moisture and the dirt in the woman never kept men away from it, you know. So, you know, that's a very offensive comment to be made. If men made that comment about women in the world, in the political climate today, can you imagine?
Yeah.
And I just urge people to think about it.
Can we take a break and come back?
Yeah, anytime,
I want to finish this because there's more to say. This actually is turning out to be, as much as I wanted to make incredible jokes and sound effects and all the thank you very much, Paul. This actually gets to be a fairly serious topic.
Yeah, we got to talk smegma.
We will. We will talk smegma as soon as we come back. Thank Dr. Deanie Dell is with us. Dr. Dean heard Sundays right here on KFI from 2 to 4, and, of course, that incredible website of his. What is it, Dean?
Health Central.
Is that still going well?
Yeah, it's not mine, but it's still going.
All right. If you're not getting any money from it, I won't put you anymore.
Plug the book.
Yeah, okay, the book.
Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness.
And that's still in print?
What do you mean still? It's in paperback now.
Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit. That's a great book, actually.
Yeah, oh,
all right.
Thank you.
No, it is. It really is. If it wasn't, I'd be thrilled to tell you that. Hey, let's go back to the great circumcision debate,
yes.
Uncut. And we were talking about that. One of the things you pointed out about the South African study, incidentally, is a lot of these people were Muslim, and they have a ritual washing. But I want to point out, which I looked at during the break, you know what, the reason they stopped the study is because a lot of these were just done by among tribal people where it's not a question of Muslim, non-Muslim. It seems that circumcision cuts the transmission of AIDS in and of itself by like 70%. Do you mm-hmm. buy that?
Well, we don't know until you do a proper control, but let's suppose it did. I mean, let's suppose it did. How can this possibly be a solution in a country where you're talking millions and millions? You'll never get men to line up and do this, and the ones who do already are going to be different and biased. How does it affect their future sexuality? Do they have more sex, less sex? You know, if this were a pharmaceutical drug, we would never let it on the market. So I'm interested in learning about it, but we've tried this in other countries, and it has not worked, and all the major, you know, international groups who've watched this study have not changed their mind about it. It's just not a solution to the terrible problem, I think, in Africa.
Let's talk about America here.
Has
there been a sea change in the way circumcision was? I mean, when I was growing up, I was born in 1951.
Mm-hmm.
In the 50s, every kid was circumcised.
Absolutely.
Across the board. What is the stat now? Do you know?
Yes, it'd be important because the excuse that you hear mostly from parents is they want the child to look like daddy.
Right.
You daddy's bald, shave off his hair.
Exactly.
Which is very funny. But right now, in the western United States, the majority of little boys are not circumcised,
really?
Or left intact. So the locker room of the future, you circumcise your kid, he may be the one to be, quote, made fun of. In the East, it's getting to be about 50-50. So nationally, just in the last few years, we've shifted towards most boys being left intact.
Wow.
And, you know, I would say to men, if they're curious, and I don't know if I can, we can maybe lose our license over this one, is if you've ever seen European porn and you want to see, you know, the pleasures and joys and functioning of a foreskin, I think most men would drop their jaws and say, oh, my God, I want that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't do that.
No, I won't. We won't do that. That's only for medical purposes.
Yes,
all right. And Dean, as always, thank you very much.
Oh, this is my pleasure.
As always, Dr. Dean, Sundays 2 to 4. The book is...
Life, Liberty, the Pursuit of Healthiness.
I always, you have so many books, I always forget.
Not so many, just two.
Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Healthiness.
Yes.
And as always, you know, the advice that I gave Dean the first time that we ever did this is, of course, never, ever eat calamari at a bris.
Your best line ever.
I know. He laughed so hard. He was laughing for 5 minutes when I said that, you know. Dean, take care.
My best to Mari.
All right, take care. I will. All right.